We want to welcome Pastor Andrew to share around the Word of God with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful. Why don't you give the creative team a hand as they take a seat? And give them a thank for all that they do. Give them a big thank you. You may be seated. How you doing? Who's good? We all know Sheila's good. Everyone say next Sunday. Next Sunday we have a good friend of mine. He's in Australia at the moment, but he's a couple of years ago now he took off and planted a church in Canada, just him and his family. Really nothing else, just abandoned and took off there and doing a fantastic job, great church growing there. So he's going to be in the church. I'm looking forward to, number one, seeing him because he's a good friend and hearing him preach the word. And then next Sunday night, everyone say next Sunday night. Oh, that was convincing. Next Sunday night. Yes. Now, let's just let you know, we've had a time change. We've had a good 3 or 4 weeks. Whenever you're dealing with venues outside of your control, and we've had a double booking. So last time we had our service from 6 till 7, and we finished, and there was about 5 or 6 quite angry Pilates women wanting to get into the building, and you don't want to mess with a Pilates woman. And so it's taken us 3 weeks to get to the bottom of it, but it looks like they double booked it. So we've chosen to move our service time. Is that all right? From 5 till 6, just to make sure it all works and flows nicely. And so we're doing a letterbox drop this afternoon with Elizabeth, and maybe if we don't get through them all, maybe Monday after during the prayer meeting and Tuesday. So you can see Elizabeth stand up, give us a wave again. She's the one to talk to. Yeah, that was encouraging. Spirit of encouragement in the house. So, we're going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to wrap up the series on hearing from God. And I must admit, you know, out of all the things that we can learn and understand, can someone turn them down? At the moment, we're not hearing from God. We're hearing from the children's church, which is hearing from God. But there's, you know, when it comes to us and God, hearing from God is absolutely vital. And I get shocked how many people actually don't expect to hear from God. But the reality is we live in a relationship where it is based on us hearing God speak to us. True? Otherwise, really, what are we doing? Otherwise, we are, you know, if you want to go and join and get involved in religion and just follow some principles, yeah, that's a starting point. But the reality is, the most amazing part about my walk with God is the fact that He speaks to me and I hear Him and I feel His presence and I feel His guidance and His prompting in my life. Amen? And I think it's something that we've got to focus on. And we are in a relationship, and a relationship is based on a two-way conversation. We talk to God, and God talks to us. Otherwise, we're not actually in a relationship. If I were in a relationship, I could say I've got a relationship with my wife. But if I, she just spoke to me, and I never spoke to her, which is not what happens, just quietly. It does happen in some marriages, but we actually, we communicate. Otherwise, you wouldn't really be in a relationship, would you? It's a bit like your Facebook friends, right? You think you're in a relationship, but, you know, you're not always in a relationship. But God wants to speak to us. So we've talked about why you can get confused when God speaks to you. We've talked about that. And we've also talked about how God speaks to us. And I'll just finish up on that very quickly. He speaks to us through His Word. True? Who's had God speak to them through as you've read the Word of God? Raise your hand. Can be something that's highlights. It can be quite a regular thing. And the more you read the Word, the more God speaks to you. That's what I figure out. If you leave it for a long time to read the Word of God, then you open it. Sometimes it takes a while just to hear God speak through the Word of God and recognize His prompting. Second is the Holy Spirit, quite obviously, can speak through. And even the Holy Spirit can use other people to speak to us. True? We've got a prophetic person called Fergus McIntyre. If you've never been in one of the services, I encourage you. He's going to be in our morning service. He's going to be in our night chapel service. But he is one of the most specific prophetic people that I have met. He speaks fantastically. Hears from God. So getting that sort of aspect of God, visions is another way. I'm just recapping what we've already gone through. Visions. Who's had a vision? Who's had God appear to them in a vision? Well, there'll be people in this room. This is not completely out there. Amen? We're a New Testament church. These things do happen. God says He will do that. He will speak to us. He'll show us. He'll give us visions. And some people get quite clear pictures. Quite often when I'm having a word for someone, a word of knowledge or something, God will give me a clear picture in my head. That's how God speaks to me when I'm speaking to someone, allowing God to speak through me to someone. So how many other people are like that? You get a picture or vision or something. Obviously, we talked about the prophetic, number four. We also talked about godly counsel, Proverbs 11:14. We also talked about the peace of God. The peace of God talking to you, amen? Whether you have it or not. If you don't have it, sometimes it means that's God speaking to you. True? And then sometimes when you've got that peace, it's a problem. And then another one, the last one I don't think we touched on was the prompting from God. What is a prompting? A prompting are inclinations or thoughts. I like to describe them as a knowing that you know. The main way you hear from God is not just audibly. You know, there's not many people that I know have actually literally heard the audible voice of God. There are people that have. But literally to hear it in your bedroom, boom. I don't know who it sounds like. But if you who has actually heard the very audible voice of God speak, not in your mind, your heart, but actually in a room? Fantastic. Jury as well. Anyone else? And who did he sound like? Don't know. One of the actors that's played God in the movies? No. But we all know it happens. True, the New Testament church, God audibly speaks. He can hit you with lights and He can speak, and that's God speaking to you. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. You've got an inner man, and God prompts you and moves that inner man inside of you, that spirit inside of you, prompts you, and it affects your mind and sometimes your feelings to move you towards what God wants. That's how God speaks. That's a prompting. Amen? And I think most people that get a hold of God and really create a relationship with God have felt a prompting from God. If you felt, you know, sometimes it's just not to go somewhere and do something. And we got a young man in our church last year was going to fly back to America, and he just said no and didn't fly. So he didn't know what, where, and how, but he didn't. Amen? He just felt strongly prompted by God not to do that. And we've certainly had promptings, and I've had promptings to be in places, and then you figure out someone's there and that you needed to meet and all sorts of things like that. Amen? But this morning I want to finish on this series. Whoa, man, this time's gone. I want to finish on the five filters that we can use to discern what we're hearing is God. Is that right? Filters are important. I think it's, you know, we are called, like I said, you should have a great desire to hear from God. And if God wants to use the Holy Spirit, if God wants to speak to you, if He wants to speak through a prophetic word, you shouldn't shun that stuff away. Sure, there's some weird stuff out there, but you shouldn't shun it away because it's actually in the Word of God. It's part of us as New Testament believers believing that God can speak to us through that way. So I find in this day and age, you can get people that just become cynical. And they only want to hear God speak through one way. And I've just given you almost six ways that God can speak to you. But instead of being cynical, how about having just a good filter? And be open to how God is going to speak to you. Amen? Because God speaking to us is so amazing, and it makes your relationship with God so real and so vital and so alive. And if he's not speaking to you, it quite often makes things quite dull and boring, and really can leave you feeling like this really isn't what God's called us to do. We're in a relationship with the creator of the universe, and more than anything, I want to hear his voice. Amen? I'm sure we all do. So, we've got some filters. Filters, they are filters. You can run this through. If you get something, a lot of your decisions in life, I am sure you want to hear God speak into the decisions in your life. So filter number one. Everyone say filter number one. Is the word or the prompting or the leading lining up with the character and the nature of God? God has a character and a nature. So very quickly, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God has a character and a nature. If what God is asking you to do, or what you feel you've got to do, or what you feel God is leading you to do or prompting you to do, doesn't line up with the nature and the character of God, is it something that you can say that Jesus would do? I know that's a wristband you can get. What would Jesus do? It's not a bad idea. But is it something that God would do? So if we look at these attributes of God, the first one is love. The opposite to that is hate. If God is calling you to hate someone, you've got a question. Are you with me? If your heart is filled, if you're making a decision and your heart is filled with hate, I'm not talking about righteous indignation. That's different. Jesus had righteous indignation when he was in the temple. He turned over the tables. That was different. That was God's house. It wasn't against a person. It was against a religion. Amen? But if you've got hate, if you're making a decision and you think it's love and you've just got hate, if you think you're going to get you're God's man and you take a gun and you go out and want to kill someone that's not part of a Christian faith, I can tell you that doesn't line up with God. Are you hearing me? God is not creating. I love our Jesus. I love our gospel because, you know what? There is no room for terrorism in Christianity. The most radical, fundamental, full-on, fully devoted Christian is someone who's Christ-like. True? Now, I'm not quite sure what a completely devoted Muhammad person or someone else looks like, but I can tell you as a Christian, the most you can ever be, the most absolutely fanatical you could be is be Jesus. Be like him. True? And what did he do? He gave his life for others. So he's not out there taking lives, he's giving his life. Joy. If your decision is caught up, the opposite to joy is bitterness and sorrow. Can I just tell you, if your heart is overwhelmed with bitterness and sorrow and out of that place, it plays into that feeling of bitterness and sorrow. Can I just tell you, you need to run this against God's nature. If you are doing something, you're running from something because you're bitter and you're full of sorrow, or you're making a decision because you're in that place, I can tell you that is not the character and the nature of God. That is not a strong place to make a decision. Amen? It's not the character and nature of God. God doesn't want you out of that place to make a decision for him. If it's causing you to make a decision, maybe you just you're leaving someone or leaving something because of that. The next one is peace. The opposite to peace is strife and contention. Your decision is birthed out of strife and contention. I can tell you that is not a godly attribute. That is not something that the Spirit of God uses. He doesn't motivate you out of that spirit. Are you with me? And if you peel back the decision and you go, this must be God. I'm full of strife and contention. I want to do this because I'm feeling this way. You've got to peel it back and go, was that God? God moves you out of a place of peace and strength. Amen? Long-suffering. That's a hard one. I'm giving you some antonyms on this, these words to give you what you shouldn't do. Long-suffering is the Spirit of God, that God works in you. That's the fruit of His Spirit, His character, His nature manifest in you. The opposite to that is fed up, protesting, insubordinate. This is long-suffering. Complaining, tired, contrary, rebellious, unmanageable, ungovernable, resistant, impatient, reactionary, defiant, disobedient, and unruly. If that's in your spirit and you're making a decision, you say, "Oh, you know, I've heard from God," and you come with that spirit. God's spoken to me. Can I tell you? That's not the character and nature of God. You need to actually, I tell people if they're in that position, to get themselves out of that position before they make a decision in God. Amen? Life gives you plenty of opportunity to get offended, to get to a place where that is governing your heart. But I can tell you that is the worst place for you to make a decision in your life. Kindness, the Word of God says. The character nature of God is kindness. The opposite to that is heartless, ruthless, harshness, meanness, thoughtlessness, cruelty, hatefulness, hindrance, cold-heartedness. Amen? If God's moving on your, if you think that God's moving on your life and you're on your Facebook hitting and attacking people, making decisions that are, and out of that decision is coming that spirit, can I tell you that's just not God? Amen? God doesn't respond that way. God doesn't cause us to make decisions out of a spirit like that. Goodness, it says. The opposite of that is evil, dishonesty, bad, corrupt, immoral. God's told you to do something. If God's told you to run off and leave your wife or your husband or do something immoral, but God's told me, I can tell you, friend, that is not the character and the nature of God. Faithfulness is the other character and nature of God. And the opposite of that is unfaithfulness, infidelity, estrangement, separation, treachery, disloyalty, alienation, rebellion, sedition. My goodness. God wants our spirits to be somewhere in a place of strength that emulate the Spirit of God in us. Amen? If someone if that is a motivation for you to do something for God, I can tell you, friend, you need to go back and sit somewhere and say, God, what is this motivation that I've got? If it's coming out of anything that is outside of the Spirit of God, friend, it's going to be tainted. It's going to taint the way. Finally, we've got gentleness, which is harshness, cruelty, revenge. The last one is self-control, weakness, indiscipline, unrestrainedness. And over my time as a pastor, I've seen plenty of people sit opposite me and say that God's spoken to them. And it only takes 5 or sometimes 10 minutes to hear them speak and what comes out of their heart. You can just see that their heart is, the reasons, the motives that they're making these decisions is not godly. And I think it's a dangerous place to be in. Is that all right? Are you still with me? Okay, so we're up to number 2. Everyone say number 2. Just jumping ahead here. The second one's quite obvious. It's scriptural. Second filter is scriptural. Honestly. I'm not going to spend time on this because I think it's just so obvious. And it is a little bit back to what I said before, but when you look at Scripture, the greatest example for us to live as Christians is Jesus. True? I sometimes, if I'm making a decision, I go back to the Gospels and read the life of Jesus and see how He responds. Are you with me? If you want the greatest example of a human, because He was man and God, true? And if you see how He responded to anything, how He has responded to offense, how He responded to persecution, how He responded to these areas, go back and read some stories and read the Gospels and listen to Him and see how He did it and see how He responded and see what came out of His spirit. Amen? Look at Him. Don't think He's so far out there that He's unattainable. He's not. He's showing us the way how we can live. Amen? So read the scriptures, look at it, go to the gospels. Number three, is it wise? Everyone say, is it wise? I'm almost there. We're going to land this thing in 3 minutes. Don't know how, but we will. Is it wise? James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, ooh, then considerate, submissive, full of the mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Man, I love that scripture. Amen? Let me read that again. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is not earthly wisdom, this is God's wisdom, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, then considerate, then submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Isn't that beautiful? That's how God's wisdom flows. You hear God's wisdom. It has a tone. It has a richness. It has a spirit behind it that when you hear it, you're just like, wow. When you hear sometimes man's wisdom, it's full of self-promotion. They don't, your decisions, you know, sometimes it's like you don't care how they're going to affect others. You don't care the ramifications. It's all about the person. But when you see the wisdom of God, you see it's not. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Filter number four. Is it in tune with your own character? I mean, if you're going to run into something completely outside of your skill set and who you know to be, come on. Sometimes we've got to make sure that we know who we are. Amen? God does call us to do amazing things. Absolutely. But sometimes he takes us on a journey to get there. Amen? You get someone who gets saved and they want to run out and start a ministry that preaches to the whole earth in 1 week. You know, there's wisdom. And the last one, number five. What do the people that you most trust think about it? We call this part godly counsel. You know, life presents us with a lot of challenges and they're not easy. A lot of decisions. Your life is made up of your decisions. That's simply just how it works. And we've got to be open to counsel. So here's some three keys when it comes to counsel of God. Because counsel, I think, is a big thing. Let's face it. We live in a community where we rely off the information and the relationship of others. Amen? True? And so I think we need to discern who we allow to bring counsel into our lives. The first one is be open to counsel. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Can I say when it comes to counsel? Seek counsel. Honestly? Probably for me, the most disappointing thing over the years is when someone comes and sits opposite me that I've known spiritually, and been their spiritual head as I've been placed under a spiritual head of people like Brian Houston and John McMartin, and they sit opposite me and they say, and you think you're there for counsel, and they start with, this is what God's told me, and this is what I'm here to tell you. Game's over. No, they're there to tell you, but they're not there to say, I don't think I've ever done it in my life. If I've ever made a decision outside of a spiritual head of my life, I've knocked on their door. The first time I ever did it, I actually asked them if I could pray about something that I felt God was talking to me about. Can I pray about it? And they went, oh, yeah, sure, you can do that. And the second thing is I said, I'm going to pray that God confirms it with you. And God did. Safety, amen? There's faith. But sometimes you see people, they come opposite you and they're basically just telling you. And I'm like, okay. That's how it goes. Pastor, I'm here to tell you what we've decided and what God's spoken to me. Okay? So you're not after my counsel. So who are you getting counsel from? Amen? God puts people over you and authority over your life for a reason. Amen? And I've always respected that to the very, I've never made a decision without the complete blessing. Make sure, the second one is, make sure you are getting godly counsel. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of a righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Amen? There's wrong counsel and there's right counsel. How can you perceive the person to be right? Well, you've got to look at someone's character. Amen? See what's going on around their lives. That's one of the number one reasons that you could look. Look at their family. Look at them. And the third key to this is get counsel from more than one person. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen? Safety. And wise counsel, for by wise counsel you wage your war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And when it comes to that, when it comes to getting more than one person, you should. Be careful. If the person you're going to counsel from has come out of the same area or got the same hurt or a similar hurt, you're going to get a similar response. Amen? Go to someone who's not at all. Amen? If you're having a challenge in your marriage and you need some counsel, go find someone who isn't having a challenge in their marriage. Amen? Don't go connect up with a group of people that all have challenges in their marriage and sit there. You're not always going to get the wisest thing. Amen? True? I think we've got to make sure that we get a good balanced counsel. Number four, last one. Test that the counsel lines up with God's ways and the Word. If someone gives you some counsel that doesn't line up with the character and the nature of God and God's ways, just go, whoa. You might have some amazing friends out there, but you know, they're good friends, but are they godly counsel? Amen? I've got some people in my life that I would go to for counsel, and there's some people that I wouldn't. Simple as that. Some people that are good friends, but I wouldn't consider them people that I would go to for counsel. A wise man will hear, listen to this, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Is that all right? Our life is about decisions. And more than anything, my heart, more than anything, is that the decisions that you make line up with what God wants. That's my greatest challenge and my greatest conviction in my life, is that I am where God wants me to be. Amen? I can fight. I can come against any opposition if I am where God wants me to be. True? If I'm doing what God wants me to do, then I can stand against, fight, resist, handle anything that's thrown at me, and you're the same. Amen? Maybe you are in a challenging marriage. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you're in a tough job, a tough career, a tough season in life right now. But if you know that you are where God wants you to be, then you can get through it. Amen? And sometimes you've got to get a hold of God, and you've got to get God to speak into that area of your life. You know, just recently I mentioned that, you know, just what are we called to, God, as a church? And God so clearly gave me a couple of people from our community that were just in such need, and I had instant connection with them, and one of those people got saved and part of our ladies group and everything. God just so clearly just said, this is what I want you to do. This is the heart and the intent of this church. Amen? These are the people that are desperately in need of God. God will confirm things to you. Amen? God loves every one of you. He just wants to speak life into your life. He wants to give you confidence and courage for all that He's called you to. Whether you're a solo mom, He wants to give you confidence and courage. Amen? We need that in our lives. Why don't we stand to our feet? Sorry, 3 minutes. I'm finishing up. Come on, lift your hands to God for a moment. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. I feel prompted in this place. For a moment. I want you just to submit yourself to God afresh. to his voice, to his prompting, to his leading in your life. There are dreams, there are visions in this room. There are heart desires in this room. And do you know what? God's placed them there. Godly hearts, desires, and godly dreams and visions fill this room right now. And God's voice, his speaking, his prompting, his leading is towards those dreams, those desires, those things that he's created you to do. And he's constantly wanting to speak to you and refresh you and encourage you. Yes, you'll go through tough times. Yes, you'll go through challenges. But it's that voice of God speaking into the Bible was filled with men and women that have been through challenges. But they never lost who they were in him and what they were called to. And God is speaking that to every single person in this room. It's not the same as the person next to you. It's different. It's unique. It's God's voice to you. God, I just pray for everyone in this place that we would just allow our lives to be led by you, that your leading, your prompting, your word would be of utmost importance to us, that we would live our lives for the desires that you've placed in us, for the calling that you've put upon us, for the direction that you've laid out for us. Your word says that you will light up and you're a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. We want your direction. We want your calling. We want the end of our days to be well done, good and faithful servant. You followed the course that I had for you. And God, I pray that in this place there would be such a desire for your word, for you to speak into their lives. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Every eye closed. Just, if you've never committed your life to Christ, or you feel to do as a rededication, I want you to pray this prayer after me. This is something we do every week in this church. And I want everyone in this room just to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask for your forgiveness of my sins, my wrongdoing, and that you would replace it with your grace and your mercy. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. And I accept today that I am a Christian, which means Christ in me, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus' name. Amen. Eyes closed one moment longer. If you pray that's the first time or rededication, lift your hands. Just one hand. Give me a wave. If you pray that, thank you. Rededication over there. Just raise one hand. If you pray that's a rededication for the first time, just raise your hand. Join that lovely lady over there. Awesome. Beautiful. Okay. Everyone look this way. Someone's going to have a chat with you. You put your hand up. He's going to have a chat with you straight after the service. But thank you. I'm going to finish right here because it's 11:37. And if there's a great presence of God here. Do you feel it? Amen. You know what that is? Can I just tell you what that is? It's God. I talk about relationship, his presence just comes. Because you know what? He's more desperate to talk to you than you are to hear him talk. Best picture I've ever got is like I'm a parent. And sometimes I don't know, if you've had little kids and you've just been watching them and they're not aware of you watching them, or they're asleep and you're not aware of them watching you, and they're talking or they're playing, and they're not aware, but you're just looking at them and you just got a smile from ear to ear as you just see them playing and talking. And that's what God's like with you. but he's 24/7 just gazing at you. Like, and whenever you turn around and respond, his eyes light up. Amen? That's what God's like. So have a good week. Be blessed. Love you all. And don't forget, if you're new or visiting with us, head off through there, or all of you head through there. We've got a cappuccino waiting for you. God bless. Have a great rest of your Sunday.